Okay. Richard, would you open up?
Yes.
Terry Johnson.
Hello, Terry. Oh, okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Heavenly Father, we are. Good morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus, to thank you for this wonderful and blessed day that you've already prepared for us. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Thank you for all those that are on the call and those that will be calling in. That, Lord, you brought us to another month and to a brand new month of November. Thank you for your grace and mercy that you've shown us and continue to show all of us, Lord. Father, thank you for the peace that we have and that is still seeking it, Lord. We know that you will give it because you say whatever we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus, it will be granted. Father, we thank you that we are gathered under your word and that, Lord, you will give us ears to hear and a mind to understand and a heart to receive what you have for us today. Thank you for Jeanette, Lord. We pray that you would just remove her and allow your word to speak through Jeanette. And then, Lord, we would have ears to hear and a heart and a mind and a spirit to do what we hear. Thank you, Father, for today. Blessed be your name. All glory, honor, and praise to you, Almighty God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So we're going to go to Genesis chapter 40. That's where we left off. And I think, Tammy, you're going to read today.
Right now I'm having a little situation, so I have to keep it on mute.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to work.
Okay. Anybody want to volunteer to read this morning?
I guess I will.
Well, thank you, Lisa.
You're funny. Start at verse 1.
Yep.
All right, wait a second. Get my glasses. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in their custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the same prison where Joseph...
Okay, remember we talked about the captain of the guard. And that Joseph is in prison in Potiphar's house. Just a reminder that there's different prisons in Egypt, and there were basically two main. And one of them is for masses of crowds that, you know, are arrested usually during the year. And just a little bit of a sidebar there, a lot of times on the king's birthday, he would, you know, do something, you know, exonerate people on his birthday that were in there for lesser crimes, and often punish or come out with his sentence. And remember, when we talk about in Egypt, it was their practice was usually to execute through beheading or mutilation. They were big on cutting off body parts and stuff like that. So for Joseph to even be in Potiphar's house, because the jail was actually on Potiphar's property, so it's kind of called his house. So for Joseph to have remained in Potiphar's residence, basically, or domain, indicates that Potiphar may have had a different view of the story his wife gave him. He was very angered when he heard it, but he remembered, as the captain of the guard, he's capable of executing him right on the spot, just like the king did with Daniel. With Esther in the story of Esther and Nahum. So Nahum was executed right on the spot. Good morning, Sandy.
Hi, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning, Exandra.
Oh, good morning, Exandra.
Good morning. Sorry for the delay. Time just got away.
It's all right. We're on the 40th chapter of Genesis.
Thank you.
And we're talking about some of what we went over on Wednesday night's Bible study about the prisons and the way that they operated in Egypt, because I want to point out that Potiphar's house is where Joseph is incarcerated. We also talked about how he was put in charge in the prison, but we read Psalms 105, verses 16 through 22, and just for quick refresh, because I want you to recognize this is not a cakewalk being in an Egyptian prison. So Psalms 105, verses 16 through 22 gives you a little bit of an insight as to what prison was like, which, so briefly,
he called down the famine on the land and destroyed all the supplies of food. This is Psalms 105, 16, 17. And he sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with shackles. His neck was put in iron.
Exactly. So we're talking about in shackles and iron. So even the best of conditions in prison, even when you're favored in prison, it's still, you know, not any place that anybody would want to be. Okay, so let's go on. But I was pointing out that Potiphar must have had a different view because he was the executioner. The captain of the guard is also the executioner in most in this culture. And yet he did not execute him, though his anger was kindled against Joseph when he heard the lying report of his lying wife. My guess is that when you have a relationship, a husband and a wife relationship, a lot of things the husband or the wife, they will overlook. But it isn't because they don't see it. So my guess is, even though his anger was kindled against Joseph, I bet you he saw the way his wife was looking at him. He's not blind. And in relationships, a lot of times we think that we're not seen for what we're looking at or what we're doing. But your spouse sees you. And just because the person doesn't say anything, it's not just spouses that see you more clearly than you think you're seen. That's why, again, it is so important that we walk our walk at all times in a way that is pleasing in the sight of God, because God's watching, of course. He's taking records, but so are people. People see you when you don't think they see you. They're watching when you don't think they're watching. Okay, go ahead.
Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them into custody in the house of the captain of the guard and sat in prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" We
Stop
both had dreams.
Stop for a sec. Joseph comes to them and he says they look sad. Do you think anybody didn't look sad that was in prison?
Really? I mean, duh.
True.
So what I'm perceiving taking place here is not there's something different about them. So
right.
What's different about them today that Joseph is discerning? I'm going to say it again. Joseph is discerning. When you have the gift of discernment, you can pick up things about people, and sometimes it just takes time to notice.
Amen.
Just take time to notice.
Yep.
Okay. Keep going. Good morning.
Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." So the chief cup.
What was that?
I think that's a little baby in the background.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, that was mine. Sorry.
That was a
okay.
lot. That was a lot. That was a lot. I thought I heard a train, a kid, and all kind of stuff.
Oh. All right, so Joseph came in the morning, looked at them, and saw that they were sad. So he asked the officers, "What's bothering you?" They get ready to tell them the dream, and he says, Do not interpretations belong to God? What do we? What principle is in action right there that we are seeing in Joseph? Joseph, and then he says, you know, tell me, tell them to me, please, tell me your dream. He says, don't interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dream. What principle are you seeing in action? There's a couple of things reflecting there. What do you see there?
Hmm.
One is that God is in control of all. God understands. Yeah. God knows all things. And two, that he must be an agent of God to be able to ask, tell me your dream.
Well,
Richard, can you repeat the first part of that? Just so you know, I have a bad connection. So when some of you speak, I get every other word. So if
you
guys
hear me
can just
clearly,
speak,
Sandra?
I hear you extremely well. Yes.
Okay.
I just wanted to know what Richard said on that first part.
That God is ultimately the one who knows everything. And he's acknowledging that God knows all things.
Right.
And then secondly, since he knows that God knows all things, then he knows that he is an agent or a child of God, so he's asking him to tell me. But he's acknowledging the fact that God is the one who knows everything as a result of that.
Okay. Do you think he's challenging?
No.
Okay.
What he's saying, what Joseph first does is acknowledge it is God who will do this, not me.
Gotcha. I see what you're saying. Okay.
It is God, not me. Now tell me your dream. Now, it's God who interprets these things, but now tell me your dream. First step is complete acknowledgement that God is God and that God gives dreams. Second acknowledgement is his faith that God will reveal to him what this dream means.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at, before I even say, well, tell me your dream, maybe I can, you know, maybe I'll know what that means. First and foremost, acknowledge God in all of our ways.
Right.
And then trust God. So you're seeing acknowledgement of God, then you're seeing the trust in God.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want to take a sidebar, which you guys know I do all the time, but this is a little bit of a sidebar. Part of it is Joseph is acknowledging his gifts. People, children of God, that first of all, if you don't know what your gifts, ask God to make that clear to you. And when you are aware and you know what your gifts are,
hi, Todd.
Then you need to
finally got in.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi,
Demetrius. Who is this?
Todd, Tammy's brother.
Oh, hi, Todd. How are you?
Good. How are you, honey?
Hi.
We're good. We're in the 40th chapter of Genesis.
I'd love to hear about it. Thank you.
Okay. Glad you're on the call. So
please
back
continue.
To what we're talking about, we have Joseph, who not only acknowledges that God is God, and without God, there is no interpretation of dreams, because God's the one that gives them to you. And now, go ahead and tell me your dream, because he's acknowledging and he is aware that he has the gift of interpretation of dreams. Or even if I'm not sure I have it, just tell me, because in faith, maybe God will reveal it to me.
Right.
What I'm getting at right now is acknowledge. Don't run from the gifts that God has given you. He's given every one of us gifts in the Spirit. Some may have the gifts of tongues. Some may have the gift of interpretation of tongues. Some may have the gift of dreams and visions. Some may have the gift of being able to discern dreams. Some may have the gift of discernment itself. Instead of seeing this gift begin to operate in you and denying it and saying, well, I don't know if that's really what it is going to look like that, but I'm not sure. I felt God was telling me he was a mass murderer, but I just didn't, I don't know. Didn't we, I don't know. Start getting in tune with the Holy Spirit. get in tune with the Holy Spirit so that you'll, when God is speaking to you and when he's trying to use his gifts that he's given you through you, don't be afraid. Joseph didn't say, well, I don't know if God's going to reveal this to me. I don't know. But, you know, God's in control of this, and I don't know. He said, tell me your dream. Tell me your dream. He's not afraid to step forth. And a lot of times the gifts of the Spirit, they manifest themselves in a supernatural form, correct?
Right, yeah. Correct.
So if they're supernatural, it feels a little awkward.
Yes. Yes.
It may feel awkward that God gives you a word. Somebody might have the gift of the spoken word. Mm-hmm. And God may give you a word to tell somebody. But if you are afraid to use your gift, afraid of what people are going to think, afraid that maybe, I don't know, God's telling me, tell this person this. If you're walking in fear instead of faith,
right,
then the gifts aren't operating through you like they ought to, and it's at whose expense?
Ours or the other, the
ours
receiver.
And the person he's trying
right.
to reach through us.
Yes.
Make sense?
That's right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That was awesome.
Well, keep
going,
Lisa.
Let me see. So the chief cupbearer and told Joseph his dream. He said to him, in my dream, I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine there were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put it into his hand. This is what it means, Joseph said to him. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But
for anybody on this call that does not know what a cupbearer is, and a lot of interpretation, I'm only bringing it up because a lot of interpretations will say butler. A butler and a cupbearer is definitely not the same thing.
I didn't think so.
No, but you, I don't know what all of us probably are looking at a variety of different interpretations. A cupbearer is a person that bears the king's cup. So anything
right.
that the king is going to drink, the cupbearer has to drink it first. And the reason is because poisoning was very prevalent at that time. At the onset of this, we talked about that the king was, you know, at odds or angered with his cupbearer and threw him in prison.
Oh.
So maybe he was worried that the cupbearer, maybe somebody had accused this cupbearer of treason.
Right.
And what would normally happen in an Egyptian prison is if you were accused of something that and you were taken away and put in prison, well, then for that period of time while they're investigating it, and if you were a high official, you're put in the prison that Joseph was put in. So you're not put in with the masses of people that get turned into slaves or mutilated or murdered. You're put in another prison where your case will be determined by the king. So,
right.
So Joseph hears this dream. Now, you know what I noticed about it that the Lord just brought? And the vine were three, there was a vine and there were three branches, and it budded into blossoms that shot forth, and the clusters brought forth ripe grapes.
Right.
Where are you getting 3 days from that? Where are you getting that from, is my question. For Joseph, where are you getting through that the vine, the branches represent days? The branches could represent a lot of things.
Right.
And the buds could represent a lot of things. But when the Holy Spirit is revealing a truth to you, it's as plain to you as it is to look outside and see the sky is blue. He wasn't confused about what that represented. He knew immediately what that was. Well, the vine could mean that one day you're going to have a vineyard, you're only going to have three. Maybe it means you're going to have three vineyards. No, he wasn't confused, not at all. those of you who have the
look at the adversary. He don't want us to hear this. Because I'm hanging on to every word. And yes, that is Alexandra speaking. Get behind us, Satan. We going to get it. Excuse me.
When the when you have a gift and you're walking in the spirit, or you're walking in faith and in the use of that gift, he knew immediately when the Lord spoke to him. Who told Joseph what that was? Who interpreted that dream, Joseph or God?
God.
So Joseph is walking. I'm asking people, children of the living God, walk that close with him.
Mm-hmm.
So that when he speaks to you, you're not all confused and baffled.
Amen.
Well, I thought he said this. Maybe he said, I don't know. Well, I think I kind of might know what that dream means. That's not where he came from. He immediately told him, this is what your dream means. And he knew it, and he spoke it. And he spoke it with confidence because Joseph was walking with the Lord.
Yeah.
He was in tune with the Lord. And when the Lord spoke, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me, John 10, and they follow me.
Yeah.
What is he saying? He's saying that the more you listen to what I'm saying when I'm speaking to you, the easier it will be for you to know. So there's no hesitation. Immediately, Joseph is ready right then and there to interpret the dream, and then he does and so. Keep going.
Let me see. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon. When the chief baker saw...
Stop. There's something else I want to point out here about Joseph's character that just... Wow. Did Joseph start blaming Potiphar's wife?
No.
Did Joseph start pointing fingers? Well, my brothers, they were jealous of me, and they sold me into slavery, and I didn't do nothing. I shouldn't even be here. My brothers, they dogs, man. I can't believe they did this to me.
No, he
didn't even say who sold them into slavery. He didn't point out who they were, who did this to him. All he said is this is not something. Please remember me. I'm here, and it's because I was sold away from my own people. He doesn't say, my family did it. He doesn't go on and say, then I run into Potiphar's old wife that he's got, and she done messed me all up, lying on me and trying to get at me. And none of that. He doesn't defend himself. People of God, understand that you'll get much further when you're not trashing somebody else.
Amen.
Amen.
He didn't trash the people who sold him into slavery, and good thing he didn't, huh? Because those same brothers later down the story are going to come and stand before him. What would people think? They would say, these are your brothers? This is your family that did this to you? And then what? Now you're sorry you told that it was your family.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're sorry that you exposed the bad things that they've done. But there's nothing you'd be able to stop Egypt from saying, what? These are your brothers? And instead of lavishing them with blessings and wealth and the land of Goshen, they're looking at them all sideways now because you talk too much.
Thank you.
We do this all the time. We go and we tell somebody something. It paints a picture of somebody who's not even there to know what's being said. And then what happens? That whole group forms an opinion.
Amen.
But Joseph did not do that. He used wisdom. He just said, hey, remember me. When you're when, not if, because he was confident in the word he had given him. So when you are restored, remember me. I'm here for the wrong reasons. I was sold into slavery. I was taken away from my people. Please, humbly, not even a mention that, the chief guard.
Mm-hmm.
Potiphar, his wife, didn't even mention it. There's a big lesson there for us. When we are wronged, when we are find ourselves in a place that's not so pleasant, when we find ourselves in a situation that maybe we feel we didn't deserve and probably or maybe didn't, don't be so quick to go on and on and on defending
yes.
yourself at the expense of somebody else.
Amen.
Because this can
Thank
come
you.
Back to bite you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Let your words be few. Remember we talked about when we were in Matthew. Yea, be yea, your nay, be nay. All else comes of evil. Mm-hmm. Children of the Lord, be very careful about exposing somebody else's wrongdoing.
Amen.
Be careful about that. And yeah. I'm going to say this because it just is still on my heart. Sometimes when we go and we expose somebody else's wrongdoing, it's you it's going to bite in the rear end.
Amen.
Come on, preach it.
What if Joseph said, hey, well, my brothers and my father did this. Now, what if the hearer said, wow, what kind of fellow is this guy
right.
that his own family wanted him out of there?
Mm-hmm.
What if it flipped the other way?
Yeah.
When none of that yes. even had to come out, had you just kept your mouth shut?
Thank you.
Okay. Keep going.
When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, I too had a dream. On my head were three baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kind of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head. This is what it means, Joseph said. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body on a pole. And the birds will eat away your flesh.
Oh, my.
Now, the third day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up
Stop.
The heads.
Stop. I want to hit a couple of stuff there. I'm not getting very far today because I'm stopping you too much. But anyway, remember we talked about on the king's birthday, he makes these decisions?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the king's birthday, decision time. But I want you to notice the attitude of the baker. The baker wasn't going to share his dream with Joseph, was he?
Not at first.
No. He only shares it because he thinks that he might get favorable results also.
Yeah.
In other words, people, sometimes we don't really want the truth, do we? We only want to hear something if it's good. We don't want to
yep.
hear something if it's not so good.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going, Lisa.
Let me see. This is what, okay. Now, the third day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored mm-hmm. the chief cupbearer to his position so that once again he put a cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph has said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him.
Yeah.
Stop right there.
Yeah.
The chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him.
Yeah.
To me, when I read that, it makes me think, how could you forget the guy who helped you when you were in a situation? I'm going to say this very easily.
I was going to say, yeah.
Let me ask somebody, anybody, if you've been in a hospital, do you remember the name of your nurse?
Nope.
No.
You could have been in that hospital for a matter of 2 weeks,
yeah.
and you appreciated that nurse, couldn't wait to see that particular nurse coming, hated when her shift was over.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get out that hospital, you put that whole experience so far behind you
yeah.
that you can't even remember that nurse's name who had served you and helped you and brought you comfort at the time that you needed it. But now you can't even remember their name. But do we not do, especially those who are not walking closely with God, do we not do that with him?
Oh, yeah.
We got a problem. We, oh, Lord, help me. He gives you, you know, and he gives you an answer. And now you're feeling all connected to God. Hey, he gave me a dream. And just as the dream, it came true, and God delivered me. Mm-hmm. And then you do what? You go right over backwards. You're back to your evil ways. You go merrily along the road doing the same things you were doing in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the very things that got you in the situation, you're still doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The point is, how soon do we forget about God's intervention in our lives when we're not walking with him? Classic example of that is 10 lepers. 10 lepers get healed.
Oh,
one comes back and even says thank you.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Jesus has to say, well, where's the other nine? Weren't there 10 of you?
Hmm.
Where's the other nine? Yeah. Okay. Couple of lessons in that, another kind of sidebar. Couple of lessons there. When you do good, when you do things for people, don't spend much time looking back for the thank yous or the appreciation.
Amen.
Because sometimes you're no more than, I consider it like a light post on the journey of someone else, and they stop by and they get what you have for them given to you. I'm sorry, I said given to you by the Spirit of God. So God gives you something to give to somebody that's on the road and it's a divine appointment, and they forget to come back and show appreciation.
Okay.
They don't show God appreciation, so what are you standing there waiting for? And then we say, well, I'm just going to stop doing good. I'm sick of doing the right thing because, you know what, I've done the right thing for lots of people, and they don't come back and say thank you. Is that the reason you did it?
Really?
If the reason that you're doing the right thing is for praise or appreciation, you might as well stop now. That's the wrong reason, the wrong motive. He talks about in the end our works will burn up.
Mm-hmm.
They will be tried by the fire, which is the fire of judgment and justice. And God's going to examine your heart to see, well, the work you did looks like a good work, but let's examine the heart and see if it was done for the right reason.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if the motive behind what you're doing is for the right reason. Well, all too often, not. So I know we can talk about, gee, how did this guy forget about Joseph, blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, let's turn the script around. And when we do things, you can expect that people are not necessarily going to be ever grateful.
Right.
And let me say something else for you to remember always. When you are not thanked, when you are not rewarded for doing the right thing, don't you know you're building treasure in heaven?
Amen. Amen.
It's just something you're going to get paid for later if you did it for pay, which, you know, when your heart is right, you're not even thinking about that. You do right because it helps somebody out.
Exactly.
You do right because it's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. You don't do it so that you can blow your horn somewhere. We talked about that. We were talking about Pharisees, Sadducees, and the likes. That's not why we do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that someday that it's the love of God for one another that motivates us, not even just, well, I don't want to make God mad. All right, I'll go ahead and give her $50 because I don't want to make God mad.
Yeah.
Some of us, that's the point we're at. We're just trying to, you know, please God. But what happens when the love of God begins to flow through your heart?
Mm-hmm.
And you do it because you love people.
Yeah. Amen.
Now his spirit is operating in you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was beautiful, Miss Jeanette.
Well, I've got a fan on this call.
You do. You know Miss Alexandra, the cheerleader, so I'm sorry.
So, yes, the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Keep going.
When 41, two full years,
chapter 41 of Genesis.
When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile when out of the river came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek, fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. 7 heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads of grain sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 healthy, full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled, so he sent for all the magicians and the wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh,
Stop right there. He told them the wise men and the magicians of that time, that included the sorcerers and the astrologers, and they could not interpret the dream. Why is that? Somebody help me out. Why is that? Why could they not interpret the dream?
Because the interpretation of the dream.
Michael says that God blocked it from us. Next person.
Well, the interpretation of dreams comes from God.
Lisa says interpretation of dreams comes from God.
And they don't know God.
Obviously, they have been interpreting dreams and visions for quite some time. The king summoned them because he expected through his experience that they should be able to interpret this dream.
Right.
Why were they not able to interpret the dream? Michael said, could God blocked it from them? What if?
Witchcraft, maybe.
Well, what if the dreams and the visions and the things that the Pharaoh was accustomed to was always coming from the adversary?
Yeah, come on, preach it. That's
so
right.
So the adversary would not have a big problem interpreting, his own dreams.
Yeah.
So the adversary gives dreams and visions also.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know, not every dream or vision or thought that you think must have been from God, line it up with his word, because it doesn't mean it came from him.
Amen.
The Pharaoh was accustomed to them being able to do a simple task like interpret it in a dream, because Pharaoh was a godless man. He had all kinds of other gods, Ra and Baal and blah, 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 blah. So he has a variety of gods, and these different gods do communicate with him. But for some reason, this dream gave him no rest. Why?
Yeah.
Because God is in it.
Come on.
God is in it, so he is stirring this heart of this man so he can find no rest. Something about this really bothering me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, come on. You guys, you've done it before. Get snap, snap. Matter of fact, he was going to kill them for not being able to interpret the dream, because that's what you're paid for. Don't think the magicians in that time, sorcerers and the like, and astrologers, they were paid to be what they were.
Yep.
That's not an option for you to say, don't know what the dream means. That's not optional. You're paid to know. And it works really well, because usually the devil will tell you the interpretation, and then the king can believe even more in the deceptive junk that the adversary has given the king. And don't think the devil doesn't allow his dreams and visions to be interpreted or prosperous.
Yeah.
I'm going to give another, I got a minute, I'm going to give another little sidebar of how that looks today. You will have police officers are, and they will know that the child is missing. And some of these law enforcement have consulted mediums to see if they can locate this missing child.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that it's being used more widely, and I'm going to call it what it is, witchcraft, why is it being used more widely? It's because it works.
Yep.
So this demon motivates somebody to go snatch this child, abuse the child, hide this child in a closet somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then people in high places consult a witch and say, can you tell us where the child is?
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's another violation to God, that you're consulting witches for information.
Right.
So here, so they go and they say, so do you know? Yes, I see street 107.
Right.
Bourbon. I think it's Bourbon Street. And I see a house. It's got a trim of brown, and it's, wait, the numbers are coming in. It's 103 Bourbon Street. Get the picture? So they bust in. There's a kid in the closet. They rescue the child. All praise goes to the witch.
Right.
How did the witch know? Because the witch is in cahoots with the demon that took him. So after you've damaged the child thoroughly and your work is done, your work wasn't to murder the child. Your work was to have a very damaged individual loose on earth. Well, here we go. So Satan's kingdom, is my point, works very well together. But they couldn't do a thing with what God is doing.
Right.
Here comes God giving the dream to the Pharaoh, and nobody can interpret it. Because only God is going to allow the interpretation of his own dreams.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to let the devil interpret his dreams. If you think I'm lying, flip through every page of the Bible and see if you can find one time when that happens. It doesn't.
Never.
Okay, keep going, Lisa.
Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was impaled. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before the Pharaoh. Pharaoh said
Stop.
To Joseph, I
Stop. Do you know why he was shaved?
No.
He shaved because in Egypt it is considered not only disrespectful to yourself, but a man is not supposed to have hair on his face.
Wow.
And that sounds a little strange when you always see those beards on the pharaohs.
Right.
Just so you know, that was fake hair.
Wow.
That wasn't real hair. They were clean shaven, and for whatever reason, that was very important to him. And it was so important that Joseph's not even allowed to be brought into the king's presence without being shaved first.
Wow.
And in most interpretations, it will talk about the Hebrew was brought. And remember what we talked about when we talked about Hebrews? The Egyptians call who Hebrews? We talked about this on Bible study Wednesday. Hebrews referred to anybody that basically was not Egyptian to the Egyptians. Some of us wonder, well, how did they get to be called Hebrews? It's because Moabites and even, you know, that had invaded Palestine and other regions about Egypt, anybody that was an Egyptian, they called Hebrews, and they were despised as less than. So they refer to him continuously. Hebrew is an Egyptian terminology for people that are not of Egyptian heritage, just so you know. A lot of people say, when did Israel become the Hebrew people? Well, it was because that was what they were called by the Egyptians. Mm-hmm. And it could have been Moabites just as easy that were enslaved among them, or some of the other nations around. But they just, if you're not Egyptian, then you're less than the Egyptians from the eyes of the Egyptians. Definitely despised as something that is, you know, they weren't even allowed to eat at the same table with an Egyptian. Oh, no, absolutely not. They had to be separate because they considered us, or Hebrews, less. Keep going.
So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought. Oh, okay. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. I cannot do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires.
I want to stop there again for the same reason. Here we are again. What did Joseph say?
God will give it
and
to him.
And he's brought right out of the dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
And Pharaoh says, well, I heard you can interpret dreams. How easy is it, and I've made the same mistake myself, how easy is it to say, I can do that. Bring them to me. I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
They have a demon. Bring them to me. I can cast it out. What? Mm-hmm. Learn immediately from Joseph's response. I can't do that.
Right.
But God can.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, tell me the dream. I can't do it, but the Spirit of God that lives in me can.
Amen.
What a lesson in humility. And what a lesson, Christians, those of Christ followers, what a lesson in how to handle the gift God has given you.
Yeah.
What a lesson. Okay. Go ahead.
Let's see. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, in my dream, I was standing on the bank of the Nile. When out of the river, there came up seven cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, seven other cows came up, scrawny and very ugly and lean. I had never seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the seven fat cows that came up first. But even after they ate them, no one could tell that they had done so. They looked just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. In my dream, I saw seven heads of grain, full and good, growing on a single stalk. After them, seven other heads sprouted, withered and thin, and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the seven good heads. I told this to the magicians, but none of them could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of the Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he's about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads of grain are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. The seven lean, ugly cows that came up afterward are 7 years, and so are the seven worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon.
Wait, and now stop there for a second. I just lost my thought.
You can't do that.
Oh, I want to point out something that we kind of went over, and then we'll stop right there and pick this up on Wednesday. But 2 years later, this happens. Remember, it's 2 years after the cupbearer said, I'll remember and I'll definitely tell my boss, but he didn't do it. 2 years passed. Why do you think it was 2 years? Why do you think it took longer? And I won't wait too long for answers, but why do you think it took longer? Anybody on the call? Okay, 2 years. It was time. Remember that the Word of God says that every man has an appointed time to live and to die?
Yes.
Well, it was time for that baker to meet his maker. Oh, I like that novel rapper.
Woo!
The baker had to meet his maker. There
Come
you
on
go.
Now.
Anyway,
that's a song.
So that's a song. So it was time for him. It was his time was up.
Right.
But let's ask the question. Was it time for Joseph to come into this situation yet? Apparently God said it still wasn't time. It's time for him to interpret these dreams.
Right.
It's time for me to plant the seed in the baker so that when it's time. But Joseph, mm-hmm. I bet, just like you and I and everybody else, I bet you we felt like, what happened? It was time. I mean, he's going to get out of here, and he's going to mention me, and I finally might get out of this dungeon. But here we get our hopes up about something that God didn't tell us.
Right.
He gave Joseph the interpretation of that dream, but he didn't tell Joseph, you're coming out within 3 days. He didn't tell him that.
Mm.
But I'm sure Joseph was expecting it, hoping for it.
Sure.
But yet 2 more years passed. I'm going to challenge you with this before I close. Had Joseph gotten out of prison 2 years earlier, it appears that because, remember, we had a 7-year period of fat cows that are going to be eaten by 7 more years following, and God had this all orchestrated. It's going to be 7 years from now, not 7 years from 2 years ago.
Right.
So what is that telling you? It's telling you if Joseph had gotten out of prison, what do you think he would have done? I think he would have gone home.
Of course.
He was been kidnapped since he was 17 years old.
Right.
So I think he would have just gone home to his people. And where would that have left them when the famine hit?
Dead.
Oh, well, there you go. A lot of times we're trying to push God into
mm-hmm.
our agenda.
Yeah.
But God has a reason why there's a delay. Had Joseph been released when he wanted to be released, he'd have gone home and may have never been in a position to save his entire nation of people. Not to mention all the nations around them that they were able to sustain, not to mention Egypt itself,
which
ended up being a huge blessing to his father and his brothers. Their offspring.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is sometimes it may look like we got it all figured out. Children of the living God, we don't.
Amen.
Yeah.
We have our idea of the way something's supposed to go down, and it doesn't go that way, and we're standing there with our mouth hanging open. But did God keep his promises to Joseph?
Yes.
Yes, he did.
Yes, yes.
Did he do it in Joseph's time? No, he did
no.
not. I'm sure Joseph thought, surely, after it's been 10 years, at that point, 11 years, I'm sure I'm coming out of this. No, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be longer. It's still not time. God is still not finished putting everything else in place.
Yeah.
So that you come out at the right time. Lisa, finish up the story, please.
And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during 7 years of abundance. They should collect the food in these good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt. so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Then the plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in the charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck.
Stop.
He made him...
Stop. That was the road to the throne that had to be traveled through the prison, hard times, suffering, trials.
Amen. Yes.
That's the road to the throne.
Yes.
Woo!
Digest that. That's the road to the throne. Mm. Most of us think that I'm just born. Oh, I'm a child of God. I'm highly favored. And you're just expecting it to be a cakewalk. But if you're going to do great things, you're going to have to go through great pruning. It has to be so much less of you and more of God if he can use you. You see this crystal clear with Joseph, but you can also see it in your own life.
Yes.
It's the more that you go through, the more equipped you are to help somebody else.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, add a blessing to his word this day. Thank you for everyone that's on this call. We're going to close in prayer after any questions. Anybody have any questions? Any comments?
It was very good.
That was amazing.
I enjoyed it.
Me too. That was beautiful.
Right on time.
Amen. Her word is always timely. We know who that is. Thank you, Jesus.
We give honor to God. Yeah, we thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Thank you,
dear Heavenly Father. We're coming before you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your written word. We thank you that you've given us a desire to learn it. I thank you, Lord, for each and every person on this call. And I'm asking you, Lord, to empower them with more of you and less of our flesh, Lord. I'm asking you, Lord, to, in a supernatural way, begin to protect us from what's coming on the face of this country.
Yeah.
I'm asking you, Lord, to gird us up with courage and strength. I'm asking you, Lord, to give each person on this call the wisdom that we need on how to navigate through what's being stirred up in the darkness in high places.
Yeah.
In this country right now and in this world.
Yes,
I ask you, Lord, to protect us as only you can. Protect our minds. Shield our mind from the attacks of the enemy who comes in the form of discouragement, depression.
Yes.
He attacks our faith. I'm asking you, Lord, to set up a shield. Let that helmet that you talk about in Ephesians 6 protect our minds from what he has trying to do to God's people this very day.
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm asking you to sustain us through what we're going through. You said that you would take care of your people to the time of your coming. Lord, if there's anybody on this call that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, I'm asking you, Lord, reveal yourself to them. Prick their heart. Begin the stirring in their heart that you can stir Pharaoh, Lord. You can stir anybody else. I'm asking you to stir up any heart, Lord, that needs to submit to you. Let us all submit in a new and a refreshing way each day. Fill us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Miss Jeanette. Blessings, everyone.
Thank you.
Say you're welcome, all of you.
All right, Miss Jeanette.
Oh, who is that? Who that is?
Miss Smith.
Who is that?
Michael.
Okay. I thought you were one of them. You know who I thought you were.
No. I was doing the Demetrius.
Yeah, I was expecting him on the call today. He might have been, I don't know. So that's why I thought maybe you were Demetrius. But then
that's
I know your
I
voice,
too.
So he messed it up.
Hey, you know, the daylight savings was today, and the baby woke up at 8. You might want to come on.
All right, I'm on my way in 3 minutes.
All righty. Ooh, boogie man.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Love you.